Our first gospel lesson this morning is from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Hear now the word of the Lord. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, source of all life, awaken our ears and open our hearts, sustain the weary with your word. And now, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A few years ago, on a Palm Sunday, just like today, I was serving the congregation outside of Pittsburgh that I came to you from as youth director. Worship had ended, and the congregation had received their palms, and the sanctuary was largely empty. There were a few of the usual suspects sort of still lingering around: the pianist, the pastor, the AV/sound guy, and a couple ushers. They were just chatting, doing their job, cleaning up. The son of the pianist and the son of the AV guy, who were both, you know, maybe 8 or 9 at the time, were sitting in a pew toward the front together, poking each other with their palms. And because I am mature and restrained, I got their attention and assumed the position with my palm extended toward them. And being little boys, they immediately knew what I was after. Approximately 5 seconds later, we were having a full-blown palm sword fight, chasing each other, laughing loudly, running up and down the aisles in between the pews, chasing each other. We sprinted down one aisle towards the narthex, pausing briefly so that we could lunge and parry with our palms. Unbeknownst to us, the usher who had taken the offering downstairs came hurrying back into the sanctuary. I can only assume that he had heard our thudding footsteps. The two boys burst out of the narthex back into the sanctuary, only to be greeted by his booming voice, "What in God's name do you think?" And then I too flew out of the narthex, stopping just short of barreling into these two little boys who had been stopped dead in their tracks. And this man's mouth dropped open and his eyes widened. And he took a beat, cleared his throat, and said something in a much calmer voice about respecting the worship space and the proper use of palms, and then he turned to leave. And I think that all three of us were pretty embarrassed, me probably more than they were. And so we went our separate ways with our palms pointed safely towards the floor. So in this man's estimation, those boys and I had at best sort of misunderstood or maybe just ignored what the congregation had celebrated only a few minutes beforehand. We had just shouted Hosanna and heard the word proclaimed about Jesus's triumphant entry into Jerusalem. We were, in his eyes, making light of a serious and genuine space of worship. And we'd been silly, and we were loud, and we used our palms as toys. He assumed something about us based solely on what he could see, missing perhaps what I saw as a chance to be genuinely joyful and energetic and to engage with one another. We were playing, for sure, but it was in love. I was building a relationship and making memories with those boys. Things we know are not always as they seem. When Jesus rides that colt, that young donkey, into Jerusalem, he is received like a king. And that is what the people have been waiting for. They have been waiting for the conquering hero to come and liberate them, to lead them, to be the king that was promised. And this whole scene is a precise fulfillment of what was written in Zechariah. So Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Triumphant and victorious is he." It is a prophet-promised moment that's just being played out right before their eyes. The line of David being restored. Their king has come, and so of course it's this great cause for celebration, for filling the streets, for shouting. Jesus is being lauded, lifted up as the king. But that's not all that's going on here. For one thing, this isn't the parade of a conquering hero. I mean, it's not a display of military might that's preceding a violent coup. He's riding a donkey. It's about humility. There is a humbleness to what Jesus is doing. And the passage from Zechariah that this moment harkens back to is proclaiming a coming king that will bring peace. A later verse says, "He shall command peace to the nations. He shall speak peace to the nations." So the people of Jerusalem, they've lined the streets to cry out to this coming king who is humble, with no need for pomp and circumstance, and who is not going to start a war, but rather who will bring an age of peace. We also have to consider what else Jesus is bringing with him. The entire Gospel of Mark has been revolving around one key point. The kingdom of God is at hand. The very first words Jesus says in the Gospel of Mark are, "Repent, because the kingdom of God has drawn near." Jesus may be the king, but he is about the kingdom. He is working for and in the kingdom. The procession into Jerusalem, Palm Sunday, is a kingdom moment, a moment for the kingdom of God. Palm Sunday, then, is not about welcoming in a victorious conqueror, because Jesus is not one. And Jesus was pointing not at himself, but rather towards this coming kingdom of God, a kingdom that is going to turn the world upside down, where kings ride donkeys, where humility is celebrated, where people live out of concern for the other, where peace wins the day, where strength is displayed in death. And that's where all of this is headed. The procession through Jerusalem is pointed in one direction, and one direction only. The journey to Jerusalem has always been about the cross. Jesus comes into the city hearing these shouts and seeing these palms on his way to die. It's perhaps the ultimate kingdom moment, Jesus choosing to die. The people that have packed together lining the streets of this city are expecting Jesus to be a strong, mighty, triumphant conqueror and liberator. I think about the cry of the people as Jesus rode into Jerusalem. "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David." And it feels jubilant. And I'm not saying that it isn't, but things are not always as they seem. Hosanna is literally a cry for rescue. The word itself means save us. Save us, the one who comes in the name of the Lord. In the highest heaven, save us. These people in Jerusalem, the descendants of the people of Israel, have long been waiting for God to remember them, to save them and restore them. They've been conquered time and time again by foreign powers, had their temple destroyed and rebuilt, lost control of the promised land, lost their agency, their identity. And so they need rescue, but it's not going to be in the way they expect. And yet rescue is still coming. And Jesus is not going to begin a military coup to overthrow the Roman Empire. We also know that there is something world-changing on the horizon. It's coming, but we have to get through some things first. We have to celebrate the triumph of Jesus coming to Jerusalem. It's not triumphant because he is a king coming home to claim an earthly throne, but because the Messiah is on the way to usher in the kingdom of God. We have to remember what it is we're celebrating. How often do we use Hosanna as a shout of praise and adoration? It becomes this cry of celebration on Palm Sunday. We tend to equate Hosanna with Hallelujah, but they're not the same. We cannot confuse Hallelujah with Hosanna. Are the people of Jerusalem praising the power of this man who's riding in on a donkey? Yeah, but they're praising him because they need his help. And we too, as we call Hosanna, are asking to be saved. To be saved from our burdens, those heavy and painful things that we try to carry all on our own. And to be saved for the kingdom of God. To participate in this world-flipping rearrangement that Jesus ushered into the world that day he rode into Jerusalem. We have to hear and join in with the Hosannas of Palm Sunday before we can get to the Hallelujahs of Easter. We cry for help and then we sing our praise. We know the end of this story. We've seen where this is headed. The Gospel of Mark is going to end in ash and rubble, but there is always hope. And today, on Palm Sunday, the hope is that Jesus is marching through Jerusalem on his way to the cross. He is willingly going to his death to answer the cry, Hosanna, to save us, to be our rescue. And that, I think, is the ultimate cause for celebration. Amen.